Hello folks, James here. I am recording this on Monday the 20th of August, which is not Friday when you were expecting this podcast. Putting it up a little later because we had some stuff we needed to do on Friday that was related to Gamescom. Came out of left field, and so unfortunately the podcast got shunted back in the older priorities list. Not my choice. I love you. You're all number one to me. But there it is. So here's the podcast from last week. You'll still be getting one this week as well. Apologies for the lateness. Enjoy the show. Love you. Mwah, 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 mwah. Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 452. My name is James Gilmore. Joining me today is Emily Soden.
How do?
Or should I call you the Widow Spyro? Sad times for Emily. Don't worry, Em. It's only a couple of months.
No, it's forever.
And Rick Cowley.
Hello.
Who is indifferent to Spyro's delay?
I like Spyro, but...
You're not going to lose sleep over it.
I'm not going to. I don't want to play it. I don't think it looks nice.
That's okay.
Controversial opinion, but I think the jagged, triangular look of the PS1 version trumps the smoother look of the remastered.
Oh yeah, I actually genuinely agree.
You like the original school? Are you a purist in all PS1 games? Do you prefer Lara when she had two pyramids on her chest?
I did. I think, you know, the state that a game comes out in and that you fall in love with, that's the state you kind of want to stick it with. But if I can play it in the current console market, I'm happy whatever form it comes, so long as it still lets me play the levels as they came on the PlayStation 1, like the first Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. If you don't get Dumbledore not looking like a human, I don't want to play it.
Incidentally, comes in the state that you fall in love with it and that's how it stays and it is the best. That's basically my Tinder profile, I think. Pointy boobs and all. So, what have we got for you this week, ladies and gentlemen? Lots of news, lots of upcoming releases for Switch and for mobile, including the likes of Warhammer Age of Sigmar, Realm of War. We've got Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate now playable on Switch in demo form. The Walking Dead, the final season, has appeared on which platform? I'm not going to tell you, not for a little bit. You have to keep listening, don't you? Dark Souls Remastered, we finally have the confirmed Switch launch date. Plus a whole bunch of new releases, including the likes of Barbarian, Legend of Solgard, Bendy and the Nightmare Run, and more. But first, the news. Battle Royale games continue to dominate on every single platform under the sun, and now PUBG is going competitive on mobile. We've got a couple of tournaments which are coming up. The first one being the PUBG's mobile player well-known Invitational North America, is the full title of it, which is actually going to be happening tonight as we record this. So this evening, 8 p.m. Pacific's time, and then it's going to go on until tomorrow, so Friday and Saturday, if you're listening to this a little bit later. This is like some high-profile streamers who are coming in and doing a ruck. But the official folks behind it, so PUBG Corp and Tencent, are announcing the first proper actual Player Unknown Battlegrounds Championship tournament thing, 6 regions across the globe, Europe, Asia, South America, North America, Japan, and Korea, with potentially more to come. And you can participate in this one. So you're going to have qualifiers, preliminaries, regional finals, and then world finals. The only thing you need to have in order to participate is more than 1,000 fans or followers across particular streaming platforms. So I'm going to guess it's YouTube and Twitch and the usual. But it does mean if you have any clout, as I believe the kids say, whatsoever, you could get involved in this and go and win prizes and do big on mobile. I find this interesting because we've had the Clash Royale competitive scene for a while now, and the idea of there being like proper full-scale mobile competitions using mobile games where you can win tens and thousands of whatever your currency is established at this point. Because esports is becoming more and more a buzzword, and I think mobile is getting more and more into it. I think the first time I came across them trying to make a game for esports was Vainglory,
Mm, yeah, they ran their fair few competitions, if I remember rightly.
Mm. It was the first one I felt was angled as like, we're going to do esports, and this is going to be an esports game.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And Shadowverse has done its fair share as well, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I haven't actually had a go at that one.
No, neither have I, but it always looks really good.
And Summoner's War. Sorry, just to throw that one out there.
Summoner's War 2.
The one they're pushing at the minute.
Hmm. People have been tuning into Twitch, and when I say people, I mean like high-level executives at media companies, and realizing there's tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people watching these things, and maybe there's lots of money to be made off the back of it. So, question is, how long before it becomes an Olympic thing?
Hopefully never.
Are you saying it doesn't take massive levels of skill to do the crab finger and, you know, WASDA your way to victory?
I just don't want to legitimize nerds. So, soon as people start going on about how it's real sports and everyone should take us seriously, it'll just be embarrassing to play games again.
It's number one, it has always been embarrassing to play games, Rick. Don't you dare try and make out like it isn't. But does that mean you're one of these people who doesn't consider darts a sport?
Oh, darts is a sport.
Oh, because lots of people are like, that's not a real thing. That's a pub sport, like snooker and darts. There's kind of a snobbiness where people say that's not a sport. So you can't put it alongside the likes of the shot put to the javelin or even football or something. Because
have you ever tried to land a triple 20? Particularly three times in a row?
Hey, I'm not
over
saying...
Over and over again.
I think it's a sport by any definition, but by the definition of, it's a physical skill, which involves usually, you know, point scoring or something, and competition. That's like the things that you would mush together to make a sport. Often there's a ball involved, sometimes more than one. But generally speaking, yeah, it's competitive, it's physical skill. The reason they go, oh, it's not really a sport, I think it's a stigma from just the fact that the folks who play darts... And often it's, let's say, portly gentlemen with a lot of gold jewellery all over them. And you look at that and people, I don't think they can put that image with the term like Olympic sportsman.
Hey,
you know?
Hey man, if you can drink a beer in it, it's a sport for me.
That's a pretty big umbrella for you to nestle almost any activity underneath.
Wait, does that, like, discount skeet shooting, then? You can't really shoot and drink a beer at the same time.
You can shoot and drink beer. Isn't that how America was founded?
What were we talking about again?
Something to do with PUBG. I don't know. Yeah,
has shooting in it.
It's got shooting in it. There you go. It's somehow connected. So you got the streaming thing. Go and watch that tonight and tomorrow if you're interested in seeing famous streamer type people shoot one another. And also get involved if you want to take part in the second tournament, the Player Well-Known Championship. Now, there's a couple of games that are going to be coming out for the Switch and for mobile, iPhone, iPad, Android, which are worthy of mention, I reckon. First of which is we've got Warhammer Age of Sigmar : Realm War. Which is an unwieldy title for a game which does look to be familiar in terms of its makeup. So what we have here is a card-based battler with energy charging at the bottom. You deploy your cards onto the screen and then the characters appear, run up to each other and battle it out. I'm sure anyone familiar with mobile games at all will recognize that format. In its defense, it's not presented in the Clash Royale style where it's vertical, it's a slightly kind of isometric view. 3D though, and lots of time appears to have been spent on the animations, the creature designs. Obviously they're pulling from the wider world, so the designs are already sitting there, ready for the taking. But they've done what looks like a lovely job with it. Whether it plays nice, or just feels like yet another one of these drag a card out onto the screen and boof, and then watch them fight one another games is another question. It's from Pixel Toys, and it looks like a step up from what they last made. I think they did Freeblade, didn't they? Yeah. Warhammer 40k Freeblade, that massive, where you're the mech, and it's just an out-and-out shooter.
I was actually at the reveal event for this game. The Age
oh, really?
Of Sigmar thing.
Oh.
I didn't get to play it.
Yeah.
they took us up the I-360 in Brighton.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And then we went down again, and then they were like, here's some stuff, and then we left.
Wow.
I was really hoping to get my hands on it because I was interested in actually playing it, but that didn't happen.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, these things can be a little bit iffy sometimes, because obviously we're trying to get access to games as soon as possible, and as many games as we can, and sometimes you can get folks to send you codes and test flight builds and all this stuff, but sometimes you do physically need to go to a place and play it. And it is a kick in the teeth. I've been to some events where you turn up there fully expecting to get your hands on a build of the game. And they kind of go, so here's a leaflet, and here's a 30-second pre-rendered trailer, and we'll see you in 4 months. And you're like, ah.
Good times.
You couldn't have just sent an email.
I got to see the Brighton, though, from, like, really up high. That was cool.
So all was not lost.
Terrified of heights, but it was cool.
Oh, wicked.
As we were going up, the i360 is a bit, it shakes and wobbles a little bit as you go. And as we were going up, there was a northern guy who stood behind me. It gave me some comfort because he was northern, so I felt at home in a way. But every time he noticed me sort of clinging to the bar around the edges and sort of going, oh god, oh god. And he, every time there was a little nudge, he just very loudly announced, bloody hell, did you feel that? Just, oh. I was like, yes, thank you for reminding me.
I went up the Shard in a thunderstorm. That was fun.
Oh god.
No. Oh my god.
Because when you get to the very top, yeah, you can put your like hand on the glass and the whole place is vibrating, like from particularly because it was a thunderstorm going on outside. But the roof platform bit is actually exposed. It's actually open top, open air. So you're just walking around and it's all kind of glass fronted. And for the first time in a long time, I did feel a little bit vertiginous. I was like going, ooh, because the wind was hella strong and it was raining and there was occasional... And you're at the top, and it's basically you feel like you're sat atop the tower in Mordor, and you are the evil eye looking out. And on the one hand, awesome, but also I did feel my impending death. So that was fun. Anyway, Age of Sigmar. keep your eyes on Pocket Gamer or whatever site we have for more news about that. If you're a Monster Hunter person, however, and you happen to have a Switch, you can... As of tomorrow, so that's probably going to be today if this was written. Hang on, 15. Should be out now. Out now. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. So this is kind of a plus version of Monster Hunter Generations, which was originally released on 3DS. So it's been sexed up a bit for your Switches, which is quite nice. So you now get local and online multiplayer. And the nice thing here is you can transfer your save data from Monster Hunter Generations to the Switch version. So you can pull across all your 3DS data and whack it onto your Switch. Which, if you've played Monster Hunter at all, is super useful because it takes tens of hours to get anywhere in that game. And if you wanted to start from scratch, then that's a whole another several months of your life. So if you just want the perk of a bit more stuff, local multiplayer, nicer graphics, but keep all your old gear, you can whack it on over. The full game comes out on August the 28th. Is anyone, as Switch owners, you two, interested in the Monster Hunter thing? Nope. Did you do it on the 3DS? No, no from M. Rick?
Never played a Monster Hunter game before. I did, because this is... Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate is technically the translated version of Monster Hunter Double Cross, which was released in... I think it was a launch title on Switch in Japan.
Oh, okay.
And I have a Japanese account, and I did play the demo of this. But obviously it's all in Japanese, so I had absolutely no idea what was going on and immediately deleted it.
I'm not sure whether it would be more or less confusing in Japanese.
Oh, it was so...
The game is very oblique anyway. Like, yeah. Every menu is just a series of these little symbols that indicate all the different items and potions and bits of gear that you've picked up. And they're all just symbols you have to learn because there's too much on screen for there to be writing. Mm. So, I don't know. I think it would probably make about as much
sense. I definitely
got
that feel from it. Yeah, I'm interested in playing it, the full thing. We should be getting a code for that, so we should have a review up when it comes out. But everyone goes on about Monster Hunter World, which is the big PS4 one that's
I've not played that one.
Copies.
But I've played 2 and not 3, I've played 4 a lot, actually. Mm. And obviously the iOS ports as well. That was the one that I really got into. Yeah, it's quite something, Monster Hunter. Like, I bounced off it hard the first time, but it's another one of those games, like Dark Souls, which we'll be talking about in a moment, where you have to learn what it is the game wants you to do and not get frustrated that it's not playing like another game.
Right.
You know? Because it is a game that is about going into areas and tracking down a single monster. It's just a bunch of boss fights again and again and again. and you have to do those fights a lot sometimes if you're looking to grind for specific kinds of gear in order to build the armor that you want. And it can feel aimless, and it can feel very overwhelming. But it's one of those games where you set yourself a goal, and once you've done that and you understand the combat and what it is you're working towards, it's brilliant. Like, really something. So grab the demo, at least. It'll be in English this time.
Yes.
So, you know,
that's
a plus. And everyone else, you'll be able to get that for free right now. But the game itself, as I say, August 28th for Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. Speaking of Dark Souls, we have finally got the actual confirmed release date, because it was delayed for the Nintendo Switch. The remastered version has been out on other platforms for a bit. From Software tweeted out that it will be coming on 19th of October 2018, which is nice. And we'll finally find out whether you can use the cheat which you posit in your article, M. Because you're like, I'm going to play it on Switch, because with the Switch, you can just put it in sleep mode and pause and stop and then pick it up again and carry on where you left off.
Yep, and I'm not even sorry. I have no shame. I'm not bothered.
Like, you could technically do that, I guess, with the PlayStation, because you can put a PlayStation in sleep mode and pick it up again, I suppose. But what I want from Software, if you're listening, is for you to allow the game to go into sleep mode, and then when you open it up, you realise the game's actually been running in the background the whole time, and you're dead. That's what I want. That's what I hope the delay is, them adding the code to do that.
Is this just to punish me for being lazy?
I just think it would be extremely Dark Souls. I think that would be a lovely little troll on behalf of From Software.
Can you imagine? I'd be so... the thing is, I'll be mad anyway playing the game, because it's also why I haven't really played much Monster Hunter, because it's just, I get really frustrated when I do boss fights and things, because I don't really find the enjoyment in it. But Dark Souls, like, as well, it's so punishing that I want to play it. Because I did enjoy Bloodborne.
Okay.
Weirdly, I know. And I never played Dark Souls, so I'm excited to do it. But I also know that I'm never going to be able to play it in public.
Because of all the Tourette-style cursing that you're going to be doing, or...?
Yeah, it'll be that. And you know when you see something really, really cute, like a cute dog or something, and all of your internal instincts just kind of fly out the window, and you end up going, oh, he's so cute, I just want to get money, I just want to, oh, crush his little face, I'm going to pat his ears, that kind of thing. It's like that, but with insults.
Have we met?
Okay, when I say you, I mean me.
Okay, replace dog with, I don't know, maybe cat at a push. Rabbit. I might do it for a rabbit. Rabbits are
okay,
cute.
Okay, rabbits then. If you see a really, really cute rabbit, one with like one little floppy ear.
Oh, he's so cute, you cute guy. Who's he doing with your buddy?
Yeah, like that, you know? Except far less joyful and far more angry. You know when you fight something and you've been fighting it for like 30, 40 minutes, and then you're so close, you can see the health bar is like right down here, and then it kills you, and you just kind of, you can hear the creak of your controller, and you can feel your teeth grinding in the back as you're trying to keep everything inside.
Yeah, it's not a bus game, is it?
No. I have done it with Super Mario Odyssey and Mario vs. Rabbids, Legend of Zelda, Skyrim as well. Like, I've been on the train and stuff, and I have no shame of where I am or what
yelling,
I'm doing.
You stupid f***ing plumber.
I sort of sit there, and my arms, because I always have a seat next to me free, this is probably why. If something happens, like if I'm trying so hard to do something and then I end up dying or something, it's before I got really good at Legend of Zelda, let me just say. And
okay, sure.
It's like the last second and then it goes down. I've physically just gone, gah! Ah!
I like the idea that you're sitting on the bus and someone tries to sit beside you and you go, no, sorry, you can't sit there, I'm playing Zelda.
It's like, for your own safety, man, please move down the bus.
That's better than just putting a bag on the seat like other people.
Oh.
Nice work. So 19th of October for that one. Look forward to playing it, and I hope I never see you playing it in public, Em.
You'll know if you do. You'll hear me.
Something that will make you make loud noises in maybe a different way. Cries of sadness rather than rage.
That's
what? Steady on. Is The Walking Dead, the final season. The first episode has appeared. It's out there. The end is beginning, Em.
No.
on Switch. So this is going to be the first. I assume it's another 5-episode arc, like the normal series, not the short ones.
I think it's 4 episodes, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I think that I saw that somewhere, that it was 4 episodes. Because the annoying thing is, being a news writer, of course, I have to write about it, but at the same time, I don't want to spoil it for myself.
Yeah.
So I've been, like, gingerly looking around the internet for information, just like, how many episodes, how many do... And I think it's 4 episodes, but they might be slightly longer than usual.
Okay. And I can only imagine they've pulled out all the stops for this. If it's going to be the last one, they've got to bring her home with a bang. Otherwise, it's going to be a massive anticlimax, just like the real Walking Dead TV series. Am I right?
True.
That's what everyone's saying. I only watched the first season and found it a bit tedious.
I gave up a few seasons ago.
I feel like it's having that Lost thing where people have... all I hear about it now is people going, oh, it's not an 8th season, wasn't very good. And everyone just rage watching it in the way that they used to watch Lost towards the end.
Mm. Well, you just think at some point, just let it die, you know. Your characters don't have to die, just let it die. The whole thing.
Yeah. It's a sunk cost fallacy with these shows, where it's like, well, I've already watched like 6 seasons. I can't stop now. Otherwise, all of that was a waste.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't, because if you enjoyed it, that's great. And if you're now not enjoying it, stop. Because all you're doing is wasting even more time, so you shouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'll still watch the last season of Game of Thrones, even though the last one was nonsense.
True, but there are some episodes in that that were absolute boss. Going back to The Walking Dead, the, you know, Telltale Game series, the good part of it. The last season was such a success that I am so excited to see where this goes in this season.
Oh, you mean where the plot goes?
Yeah, because obviously it's about Clementine and AJ.
Right.
No spoilers.
No spoilers whatsoever. It's the fact that it's got a new art style, new plot, and all of the press release stuff was saying it's all about sacrifice and it's going to be heartbreaking and emotional ride and all of this. And then, like, in the trailer, Clementine throws back to Lee. Yeah. And I'm just sitting there like, boys, don't hurt my queen.
What I want to know is, where does Telltale go from here? It's not like they haven't got a million other franchises, but it all started with The Walking Dead, their mainstream success. They had done, and people forget about this, they had done a whole bunch of games beforehand with the whole Sam and Max series they did. They did that god-awful Jurassic Park series. They did the okay-ish Back to the Future series, so they'd already established this formula. It was The Walking Dead where everyone went, holy crap, this is really good, actually. And then Telltale just became a different beast altogether. Yeah. So this really was the anchor which helped them launch their entire, like, all the Borderlands and the Game of Thrones and the Minecraft even we're onto now. That's how popular they are. But with this gone, because they did a little spin-off, didn't they? They did that Michonne episode, that little sidebar. But I think if this is genuinely the last season, no more Walking Dead. No. What do they replace it with? Hmm?
I tell you what they replace it with, James. Okay.
Finally, the season of The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
Yes. The Wolf Among Us season 2 and Tales from the Borderlands season 2.
I don't know about Borderlands.
Are they doing Tales of
Borderlands? No, but they should.
No, there's no way they're going to do that.
No.
They left it open, though. They completely left it open for the next season. If they had the writers that wrote that that screenplay, then I'll get on board. If it's any other writers, it's a no from me.
Didn't they say it sold so badly that it was like 5 people working on the game when it got to its last episode? Because they just took everyone off.
I know. I completely agree with them. It was the best one. It's the best written one by far in a series I thought was going to be rubbish. And, you know, it was clearly the best one they've done. But, yeah, I don't think anyone played it because people were like, what, Borderlands narrative game? And went, no. Which is exactly the reaction I had. I'll be honest. But then I played it and realised I was...
Once, though. You play all in one sitting, you can appreciate all the humour. That's the only Telltale game where I have genuinely sat there and, like, laughed my ass off at it at certain bits. And if they do not bring a season 2 or at least, like, a little spin-off or something, I'm just going to be done. I'm gonna be done.
I think those 3 coffees have kicked in, Rick. We were worried about this being low energy. Not so much anymore.
Just get me talking about Telltale.
I feel like Borderlands' star has waned generally. Do you? Like, I feel like... Because I liked Borderlands 1 when I played it with a friend, and I played Borderlands 2 as well. And then, like, you got the whole Handsome Jack collection, and it's been all a bit quiet on the Borderlands front since. And I don't know whether the big PS4 Xbox One version of the game is ever going to come. I'm not sure about that franchise anymore.
No, I mean, I know what you mean. I think the thing, we just need something good, you know? Like, it feels like everything is just so remake-y or has been done before.
Oh, you just mean in general?
Just in general, I'm getting frustrated now.
You're lamenting too many remakes while at the same time crying because Spyro the remake is going to be delayed for 2 months.
Don't judge me, James! There's a judge-free area.
Goodness me. I feel like I said this already, I'll say it again. The Walking Dead, the final season, out right now, at least in North America, and coming to the UK, US, EU block soon, and mobile. I assume it'll be coming to mobile as well at some point in the not too distant. We'll let you know. Out and about this week, let's start with what is probably quite a big release in the scheme of things, Legend of Solgard, which is a game from King of Candy Crush Saga and Bubble Witch Saga, and basically one of the most lucrative sagas of games ever released on mobile. So worthy of paying attention to what they do. What they've come up here with is something which is like got, I guess, the foundations of what they are known for, but then they change it up quite a lot. It's quite a departure for them. So it is a match stuff puzzler slash brawler, which, you know, we've had lots of Puzzle and Dragons and all the rest of it. But it's, I guess it's playing around with the format a little bit more, I think. Just to check, who has played this one?
I've had a quick go in it. I haven't put too much time into it, but...
Okay. I played a bunch for the review that's up on PG and AppSpy, and it plays out as follows. You've got a whole bunch of little creatures at the bottom of the screen. There are four different types which you can utilize, four slots in your armament. So you might have a bear and a little goblin, a dwarf or something. They all have respective powers. The idea is that you need to match them up. So you'll have maybe 20 or 25 spat onto the battlefield, and you need to match them up, move them around. Groups of three will then combine to create one bigger version of that creature who can then go and attack. Without them being combined, they won't attack. They just sit there. So you need to make these matches in order to get them up. There are enemies at the top of the screen. There's also a big portal standing at the very back. And you need to fight through the enemies and then smash up the portal. That will then take you to the end of the level and you can move on. Now, if you match characters vertically, they will turn into these, you know, bigger versions of themselves. And if you keep matching, like, say, four or five together, they get even bigger. If you match horizontally, you'll create these little barriers, these fences, then fly to the border between top and bottom of the screen, and they will defend you against enemies and whatnot. Then you realize if you start matching up different shapes, so like tetrominoes, so if you do like an L shape or like a star or something like that, that will also change the type of attack and the type of powers that they have. And also, because the enemies are presented in different places at the top of the screen from left to right, you need to be matching them up in the right place on the screen, because when they go to attack, they only ever run up vertically in a straight line. So they can quite easily just run straight past the enemies you're wanting to attack if you haven't aligned them in the right column. So there's a bunch more going on. It's got an RPG feel behind all of it. So you're constantly leveling up the creatures that you have, which obviously makes it feel a bit more Pokemon-y or something like that. So there is that underlying keep coming back, keep grinding, keep collecting crystals in order to level up your people and minima, which is, while fairly commonplace for a lot of lower mid-core games, quite a step up for Candy Crush, because Candy Crush is the most surface level match tree, move on, match tree, you know, that's all that game is. This is a lot more than that. And the animations are very nicely done, and the character design's nice, and it shouldn't be a great surprise from King, because King have made a ton of money and can afford to, you know, put the time in to make it look good. It's been out in soft launch, I think, for like a year or two.
Yeah, it's been out for ages.
And you can feel it. It does feel polished. I don't think it's going to convert people who aren't into either match puzzlers or Puzzle and Dragon style match and fight games. But I'm not going to lie and say I didn't enjoy it a bit, because there is genuine, like, tactical nuance in matching the right characters, because they all have different, some of them are major, some of them are brute force characters, matching the right characters in the right place, in the right combination, to get the result that you require while enemies are bearing down on you. There's thought. I was sitting there really, like, planning out what I'm going to do. So it's got something to it.
I didn't get far enough in to really explore the tactics and stuff like you're saying with the making different shapes and stuff. I just did the initial match three and they run forwards and I went, okay, yeah, that seems cool.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks like it's a decent game. It's well presented. It's got the King polish to it. It's not developed by King. Should add, it's developed by Snowprint Studios, who were set up a couple of years ago and were just making a game, and then all of a sudden it turns out they were making a game with King, so that's actually really cool, because they're focusing on like trying to reach a more mid-core audience with RPGs and stuff, and then King have clearly sprinkled their influence on it and given it the right color scheme and all that sort of thing. So I think if you do not like King games and think, oh, it's just going to be like Candy Crush, it's not developed by King, and they have taken it in a totally different direction than you would ordinarily think.
It's got the energy system, unfortunately, which always puts me off these things, but because there's a couple of games that don't do it quite the same, one of which I'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, so Legend of Solgard is the name of that one. It's free iPhone, iPad, Android at the minute. Em, you've been playing Bendy in Nightmare Run, right? Did you have a go at that? Yeah,
I did, and you know what? It's not bad.
Weird, isn't it? So, for the people, what is it?
It's like an endless runner, but it's level-based, and it's also a boss fighter.
Yeah. Presented in a style which I guess will be familiar to people if they have played... God, I always forget what it's called.
Cuphead,
there you go. So, it's taking that really early animation, 1920s, 1930s style. They've taken it even further here by making the game black and white. So, it takes you back to the proper early... Was it Steamship Mickey? Steamboat, there you go. That's what
no, Steamboat Willie.
It's got the auto-runner thing in the Temple Run style, only the character's running towards the camera instead of away from it. And that's so we can see the giant boss, which is chasing you the whole time and lobbing stuff at you. So there's a taxi cab in this image. When I was playing first, it was like a gigantic chest or something which with octopus tentacles chasing me down.
Yeah, I eventually beat that this morning.
I do. I just played it for like 10 minutes just to see what it was about. But yeah, swiping left and right to go and pick up little cans of stuff and also items, objects, which you can then throw back. So weapons you can fling back at your boss. You have to do the jumping as well. It's almost a bit creepy. Do you not think?
Yeah, well, it's. I think that's the whole point, though, because Bendy and the Ink Machine is a survival horror game.
Oh, okay, so this is based on an existing game and this is a little mobile spin-off.
Yeah, so it's kind of roughly the same thing. That's why he's like collecting cans of bacon soup and stuff, because that's all prominent in that game.
Ah.
So whilst it looks kind of happy and pally and all that kind of, you know, jigging up and down and stuff and gorgeous looking, the underlying tone of it is always supposed to be a little bit unsettling.
Right, so it is a creepy spin. Okay, that makes sense then. That all fits together. We actually thought it was all right. Harry gave the review for it and gave it an 8 out of 10, where, yes, it's just another endless runner, but it's got weird ideas. It's got that strange, macabre, creepy feeling to it. And it's genuinely tense, because whichever way you cut it, like Temple Run and stuff, it, when you're watching people run forward, it's about anticipating the next gap and seeing bosses coming towards you. But whenever they do that thing, and they do this in third-person games a bunch, when there's a set piece happening, I'm thinking of things like Uncharted, where suddenly they'll do a section where the camera whips round and Nathan Drake is now running towards the camera and you're seeing stuff approaching from behind him. That always makes me feel on edge. Because you're so used to seeing what's in front of the character. When they flip it, not only are you looking at the thing chasing you, and that's always creepy, you feel short-sighted because you can't see what's coming towards you until it just creeps in at the bottom of the screen. So you feel like you have less time to react and dodge to the things that your character is running towards, and you're being hassled by this image of a thing like getting closer and closer in the background. So it's like a double tension thing for me. So I always feel like, ah, whenever they do that in a game. And this is just a whole game of that.
They show you all the controls to begin with, and I instantly forgot what was the throw button.
Nice.
So I kept picking up, I had like an axe the whole time before I got killed that first time. I was like, how do I throw it?
So yeah, that's a game that's out right now, iPhone, iPad, I think it's Android too, but Bendy and Nightmare Run is the name, and it's got to be free, I think. Surely it's free.
It is.
Okay, then. Let's do Bear... No, Harry's broken me on this, because he was talking about the stupid call where he couldn't say the word. And it's just barbarian. That's what the word is.
Barbarian, but spelt like bear.
But the bear in the middle is spelt like rar, bear. And that's what the game is. It is... You've probably played this more than me, Rick, but I played it a bit. What's this?
So it's a top-down 2D brawler-type thing, kind of in the same vein as sort of a Dynasty Warriors game, because there's tons of enemies, and you have one attack button, you go smash, 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 and they all die really easily. And then there's boss characters who you need to face off against, and they take a little bit longer to kill. And you just kind of roam from room to room, as it were. There's like small environments that you go around and you just smash things. Your only interaction with the world is to smash things, including like talking to people. You have to just attack them. That's the only yes. button you have.
I thought that was interesting. Again, going back to Dark Souls, where like you go talk to NPCs, and if you've ever accidentally swung a weapon at an NPC who was talking to you in Dark Souls, you will appreciate that, like, oh god! Because it's Dark Souls, and you might just have killed them and that's it, and you've locked off a massive quest. So my instinct was just like, can I just talk to them? Am I going to swing this cute chicken? All right, fine. Whoop-ha! And yeah, that's your method of conversation.
And yeah, there's sort of side objectives, I think. You had to save prisoners who are in tubes, and then they come and join you in combat, and you can level those guys up as well. And you can get new weapons and stuff like that. It seems very basic. It's beautiful. It's an absolutely gorgeous game.
It's nice, isn't it? It's a mixture of like 2D and 3D, because it's isometric in the way that you look. And so the environment itself is on a plane and it's like a 3D. But the characters themselves look like 2D sprites. Mm. So it reminds me of that Cat RPG game, Cat Quest.
Yes.
It's a very similar visual style to that. But it's all very small. You're like teeny tiny on the screen. And as you say, you've got like hordes and hordes of enemies which you carve through. That does feel nice. That just hacking your way through a massive crowd of people.
But it is kind of very repetitive in the same way that Dynasty Warriors games have always been very repetitive, because there isn't much more to it. There's like a charge button that fires you forwards and will kill things in your path. But, you know, that recharges every now and then. You can just keep doing that. And it's fine. Harry, in his review, says that if you stick with it, it opens up way more and becomes much better. I wasn't wholly sort of sucked in. It's fun and it's enjoyable, but I'm thinking, is this it?
Yeah, and he had the same feeling, where it's like, if you play the first, even just half an hour of it, you might be like, is this it? But apparently, if you keep going, stuff does unlock and open up, and there are more mechanics underneath it. But the problem people are going to find, maybe, if they read reviews, or if people have played it for a bit and then gone, ugh, this isn't worth it. The problem they'll find is it's £8.99.
Yes.
$8.99, which is, in the scheme of things, not expensive, but on mobile, it's at the high end of a price for a mobile game. Not Square Enix price, obviously, let's not go mental, but it is still, that's expensive for a game which it takes a while to get into. I think the criticism Harry had was it feels like it hasn't made a lot of concessions for mobile. Because mobile is built to be like, you need to get in, you need to get access to it quickly, you need to be able to pick it up and play in short bursts and get immediate fun. And if it's like, well, this game starts getting fun after 45 minutes, that's not especially good for mobile. It's good for an 80-hour RPG, but not necessarily brilliant for a pick-up-and-play mobile game. But that was a criticism he added, but said once you push through, it gets better. So he did like it. We do recommend it. He gave it an 8 out of 10, but you're going to need to... I maybe watch a bunch of videos. I think I'll definitely do a review of this one, because people might be going, 8 down for 9, and then immediately searching to see if it's worth anyone's time. But Barbarian is the name of that, with a bear in the middle of the B-A-R, because it's the bar and the bear R's. It's a whole joke. So that's out of the minute. We've got a couple of other things too, like Armed Heist came out this week. I did a video on this because they were one of the sponsors over on AppSpy this week. And it is effectively like the heisty bits of GTA, or it's a bit like Payday 2. Where you, third-person shooter, you're running in and you're performing heists. Sometimes in banks, sometimes in airport hangars, or wherever you happen to end up. And you'll have little short missions surrounding a big central mission. So you need to collect up skulls in order to unlock the big heist in the middle. The little heists are often just like, you're in the middle of a heist and you've been dropped in. They're like, defend while the safe is unlocked, then go grab the cash and then run to the car. Fight your way through the police. When you unlock the big heist, it's like you start outside the building with your gang, and it's like you've got to go in, you've got to make your way through, you can do it subtly, or just start shooting everyone immediately, find where the safe is, maybe pull out a drill or a safe cracker, and then the drill will get stuck. stuck halfway through the process. You have to run back and fix it while at the same time fending off all of the guards, and then yada, yada, yada to make your escape eventually. It actually feels okay. I wasn't sure about whether it would be a bit much on mobile, but it feels fairly solid. Controls work well enough. They're nice little bite-sized missions. The best thing I can say about it is, or one of the better things anyway, is that it doesn't work on an energy system. This is the game I was talking about earlier, where it gates the number of crates you can unlock. Which I think is, that's the Clash Royale model, if I'm not mistaken, where you can play as many games as you want, but if you win a chest at the end of that game and all of your chest slots are full, you just don't get that chest. You have to wait till the slots are relieved by you unlocking the chest and getting the stuff, which can take a number of hours. So that's the way they gate it. But you can still just play as much as you want for as long as you want. And that's good. I like that. So it's actually surprisingly not bad and worth a look. Whenever we do anything that's with sponsors, I'm always cautious of what I say, because people will be like, ah, you're saying it's good because it's someone's, you know, sponsored the site or whatever. And it's like, no, we're very cautious about that kind of thing. And to be fair, if something's kind of crap, I just say it is. But no, it's actually all right. I've played a lot worse, like third-person shooters than this. Presentation's fine, and the little heists were kind of quite tense and enjoyable. So you can have a look at that. The video's up on AppSpy, incidentally, if you want to see it. Anything else new releasey that you guys have played?
I played State of Mind on Switch.
I was about to say.
What is that? Have you both played that?
No, but I remember Rick was going to talk about it. And I want to hear about it, Rick, so go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
So it's an adventure game, point-and-click adventures type thing, from Daedalic, who are a German publisher, famed for their adventure games. They've previously done stuff like Deponia and the Harvey's New Eyes, which came out this week as well, but we haven't played it yet. You are this guy called Richard Nolan, and he's just been in a car crash, and it's like, oh, I've lost my memory, I don't know why I was in a car crash. And then you're also a different guy called Adam Newman, who's also been in a car crash, and he's like, ah, I don't know why I was in a car crash. And they live in two different places, but they both seem to have interesting parallels between their lives, and that turns out to be a huge plot point, and woo! And it's all about, like, it's in the future. I should have mentioned that to begin with. So there's robots and stuff, and Richard doesn't like robots, but Adam's fine with robots. There's flying cars, and it's all in techno Berlin sort of nonsense. I'm kind of going all over the place because it's really confusing. It doesn't make any sense. It's all these different sort of plot lines just keep popping up. Like, Richard's wife has gone missing with his son. She appears to have just vanished one day and packed her bags and gone, so he's trying to track them down. But at the same time, he's also trying to buy drugs. I'm not really sure what was happening at that point. And then he's fallen in with the techno liberals who are Antifa and trying to stop the robots and something. I really honestly have no idea what's happening anymore. And then the sort of link between the two characters is really confusing, and it's all about like virtual reality and uploading people's brains to robots, and I was just so the story is really confusing, but it's so confusing that you're kind of like, I want to see where this goes because I have no idea what's going to happen next.
So is the story the game? Is it a narrative adventure? Because I see it's a third-person thing.
Purely a narrative adventure. There's little puzzles here and there, but they're super easy. So you just need to sort of... They're mostly just sort of gates to stop you from just clamoring, like, clattering through the story's full fast pace. Yeah, the puzzles are crap. The controls are awful. Like, you have this huge turning circle. So anytime you're trying to navigate an environment, you just sort of stumble around like a drunk, just into the sides of walls and cabinets and stuff like that. There's barely anything to look at as well, so you can't really... You can examine stuff and it'll give you, like, a description of it, and you can talk to people, but you can't really... They only have sort of one line. There's occasional bits of dialogue trees that you can do, but it generally just... It feeds you down one path. It's not, like, an open-ended thing. It looks beautiful. It's got this sort of weird art style to it, where everything just looks a bit wrong.
Low poly vector art stuff, isn't it?
But it's nice and clean and shiny. Some parts are really dark and it's difficult to tell where you're going, but then like you switch over to Adam, the other character, and his world's a utopia and it's all bright and colourful. And it's a very confused and confusing game.
Do you like it? You've talked about how weird it is, and like you've mentioned a lot of down points, but I get the impression you're involved.
It somehow managed to hook me in, despite the fact, on paper, it's not very good, And I gave it a 5 in my review because it works, but you're just kind of like, why am I playing this? But I have sunk more hours into it than I thought I would. And I am interested in seeing it through to the end and finding out what the hell's going on and how it all links together. And I'm sure I'll probably end up disappointed, but I'm still sort of like, it's got its hooks into me somehow, and I have no idea. But I'm really sort of invested in the characters and finding out more and stuff like that. Plus, so it has full voice acting, and it's all fully voiced in English, and you've got Geralt of Rivia doing the main character. For all you Witcher fans. So he sounds exactly the same as he does in The Witcher, and it's really confusing. But it has a full German voice cast as well. And you can keep it in English subtitles. So I switched it over to the German voices, and they're not great, but somehow it fits the environment a bit better, because it's all set in this weird future Berlin thing. So it actually feels like you're in Berlin, and there's people just talking German around you and stuff like that. And the feel of it is really nice, even if the game itself is bad. And also they've managed to envision a future where the only people in it are either white or robots, which is, not the truth of the matter. But
well, it depends if it's one of those totalitarian oppressive futures where they've outlawed other people. But maybe that's a reveal. Maybe that'll be coming later.
I hope it is, because otherwise it's just a terrible oversight on the designer's part. But if you like adventure games and you like weird sci-fi stuff and you're kind of ready to accept a lot of flaws, I would suggest you give it a look. But if you're not prepared to sort of really invest yourself in it, I wouldn't bother. It's kind of my review.
All right, and well, State of Mind, that is out now on the Switch and Switch only. There are a couple of other games we can talk about, which is Colorfold, Evergreen's out. You mentioned Harvey's New Eyes as well. But we've got the full list, which is available on Pocket Gamer, that M has once again knocked up with her very own hand. So go and have a look at that. In the meantime, we'll call it a day. Thank you for listening as ever. Go and rate and like and subscribe and do the thing and the dance with the thing and then high five. Woo! Thank you two for joining me, as always.
Of course.
Don't worry, Em. Spyro's coming soon. Don't you?
He's
still there. He's still there. And we will come and talk to you again next week with more mobile gaming news and reviews. Thanks for listening, as always. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.